joined by the Syrian writer and broadcaster Rana Kabani. Rana, you were sceptical about the ceasefire. Do you now feel vindicated after the weekend's violence?
I think vindication is a very, very sad word to use in the Syrian context. Many of us who have witnessed the barbarity of the Assad regime throughout its 45 years know that this is a regime that you cannot reform, you cannot do any ceasefire or treaty or compromise with. Indeed, the only people who seem to have been able to compromise and create ceasefires with Assad, whether father or son, were the Israelis. And Syrians are increasingly feeling that they're being abandoned because Netanyahu wants Assad to stay in power, and the United States has changed its line quite dramatically in the past few months to accommodate that.
What should the international community do now then?
Well, the problem is that from the beginning, from March 2011, the international community gave him extremely mixed messages. It was always a case, even William Hague, it was always the case at the beginning that he was called a reformer. Hillary Clinton said he was a reformer. No one, including the European Union, said that this is a man who is using an army to destroy a country, and using it only for one reason. Long before there was a question of any military reaction from Syrians themselves, long before that, he was using it only to stay in power and to continue to enrich himself and his family and those around him because of it. So what should the international community do now? Well, it should certainly threaten force, because like all bullies, he will be extremely reluctant to engage the world militarily, even though he has tried to create problems of all kinds of increasing sort of difficulty for his neighbors, Turkey, Lebanon, Jordan. But he has the constant backing, for purely sectarian reasons, of Iran. And now we hear Iran saying to the Iraqis, who had their sort of had the Americans say to them, do not allow weapons to reach him through your territory, i.e. through the Iraqi territory. Now we hear Iranians saying to them today, no, you must not do that. So, I mean, this is a sectarian war that was started by this regime when it began making the Syrian army, which after independence had been an army that represented all Syrians and drew from all backgrounds. It is now an army where the real knuckles of power are all Alawite, and increasingly with aid from both Hezbollah and Iran.
Should the international community try to topple that army and be more explicit about arming the opposition?
Well, I'm afraid I'm someone who is 100% against any military intervention in Iraq. And perhaps I continue to be against military intervention. But I think NATO has taken such an appalling position, including its head, who seemed to continually gloat that NATO would never intervene. I mean, there was not even a verbal threat, Matthew. There was not even any real attempt to sanction him properly. Even today, we have very, very mild sanctions upon those who are really leading the killing.
Should NATO, for example, try to impose a no-fly zone?
Yes, definitely. That should have happened months ago. A no-fly zone should have happened months ago. It would have spared perhaps tens of thousands of lives. We know that there are maybe more than 40,000 dead already. We have reports of there being 200,000 held in positions where they are probably going to die too, of starvation, of real pain, of no attempt to medicate the wounded, on the contrary, to kill them in prison. So, yes, a no-fly zone is now an absolute necessity, and it would be criminal not to impose it. And the other thing is the corridors where people could defect if they wanted to. The Syrian army is a conscript army of very, very poor soldiers. These poor soldiers are not even fed by the Assad regime, let alone helped in any way. But if any of them have the tremendous courage to defect, not only they, but their entire families and towns and villages pay the price. So we need to see really important safe corridors where people can go to defect in the huge numbers that they cannot humanly do at the present moment.
Are you at all hopeful that you'll get that kind of change that you're looking for, no support for no-fly zones, safe havens, etc., after the elections in America?
You know, Matthew, I don't think there's any difference, despite the rhetoric, between the American position, whether it's the Democratic or Republican one, I am sorry to say. And therefore, it is Israeli-led in many ways, and we have a very right-wing Israeli government that doesn't understand that to have a kind of long-term stability in the region, you have to have your neighbors being as happy and as able to live in dignity as you.
What do you fear is going to happen over the next few weeks and months?
I fear there's going to be far more killing. Already we see entire cities and towns and villages razed from the map. We see numbers of refugees that only happened sort of towards the end of Milosevic criminality after a long engagement in Bosnia. So we've seen within 19 months a human catastrophe of unbelievable size, and this will come back to haunt the world if it's not stopped, because every single child that has been tortured or who has lost his parents or her parents will become, no doubt, more extremist as this will go on. And Syria, which was probably the most open and wonderful society despite what it lived through under totalitarian Assad, despite that experience of real pain, it was the most welcoming, open, and non-sectarian society until this family decided to change its very nature.
So Assad will survive?
I don't think so at all. There is no way on earth that Assad will survive.
For the foreseeable future, though?
Well, you know, Matthew, if nobody helps the Syrian people, he will survive for a few more weeks. But this is a man now who is haunted. He has an X on his head, and so do every member of his family, because they have committed the most atrocious crimes. I want to believe very firmly that Syria is not Zimbabwe, and unlike very criminal Mugabe, the Assad family, who are probably a very close parallel to him, but even more so with the Pol Pot regime in Cambodia, will not survive. And if they do, it'll be a matter of weeks, not years.
Okay, Rana. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you, Matthew.